Runs kindly for Morrison. It's Cal Morrison! Just listen to this, please! Spencer takes over. It's Brad Spencer! It's in the back of the net! There's Donaldson driving forward. Cole Donaldson! That is simply ridiculous! There's Tom Lang! Oh my word! Unbelievable! Phenomenal! Incredible! Invincible!
This is Falkirk Daft. With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
The friendlies are done and we're back to business, baby. Falkirk kick off the season with our League Cup campaign. And talking of business, what's going on in the transfer market? All that to discuss and more on this week's Falkirk Daft, where I'm joined by the Ginger God of Pod himself, the one-man band in the main stand. It's Ross Wayne, everyone.
Good evening, sir. Happy Sunday. How are you?
Happy Sunday, indeed. This is when we record the podcast. Obviously, you could be listening to it any time of the day, anywhere in the world. I mean, let us know where you're listening to the podcast in the world. We know we've got listeners all over the world. Texas, Australia. I think I saw someone listening in Japan as well. So let us know where you're listening.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let us know where you listen to the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. But how are you, fella?
Good. It's good to be back into the football sort of zone, isn't it? We've had what, three games in about 10 days.
Yeah.
A bit manic.
Three games to review on this week's podcast. I was on my holiday, so that's why we didn't have a podcast out last week. Normal service has resumed now. Weekly podcast up until the end of the season. But I basically was able to catch most of the games. On Saturday, Dundee United signed up to Falkirk TV, watched it while in Salou, in the apartment while the kids were at the pool. Great.
Nice.
On the Tuesday night, we were going around the theme park, but the queues were so big, I was just like, screw that. I was just stuck on my phone. The internet is a wonderful thing. Technology is amazing. So there I am in the queue for Dragon Can. In Salou, if you've been to Port Aventure World, you'll know that roller coaster. Watching the Falkirk games with all these kind of people leaning over my shoulder going, what game's he watching? It's Falkirk versus Ayr United, mate. In the league.
Of course, standard, isn't it?
And then yesterday, I didn't make it to Bucky, but I was able to see the game as well. So I've seen them all. So lots to talk about in that, Ross.
We do, yeah. No, it was good.
You went to Ayr and you were at the United game, right?
United games in Ayr in person and then Falkirk TV for yesterday. I really enjoyed the football being back. Good to see familiar faces. Obviously, as we know, there's always people we don't see. At pre-season, because a lot of people wait till the first game. But good to see a lot of familiar faces. And good to be back, as we say.
Absolutely. And we've got to say thanks to our sponsors this season, as ever. The Falkirk Football Fans and Training are back with us. Get involved with them down at the Falkirk Stadium every week. They are supporting the club. They're supporting this podcast. And I was interested to see, because I was on their Facebook page looking at what they've been up to. They had trials back at the end of June, and I loved the fact that this is what you need to be to get involved with the Falkirk Football Fans and Training. You must be over 18, your BMI must be 30 or over, you must measure 38 inches around the belly button, and there's no ex-pros allowed to play either. So
see, when we played them in June, we just completely ripped that criteria up in terms of our squads.
Oh, they did as well. They were bringing ringers in left, right, and centre as well. Don't worry about that. But yeah, if you want to get involved, like we've spoke about them so highly in the past, the great bunch of boys. I actually met Jack Traynor, one of the members, him and Mark, we played in the game against us at the end of the season. Met him on the train on Friday on my way back. Some good tales to tell, I'll tell you that much. But they're a great bunch of guys, great camaraderie, and get involved. If you want to lose a bit of weight, you know, help your mental health out, get down, get involved with Falkirk Football Fans and Training, get in touch with Ian and the team. All the details are in the bio of how you can get in touch with those guys. And this season as well, Ross, Behind the Wall, they're back on board with Falkirk Daft. We did our Falkirk Daft live there and we loved it, they loved it, so they've decided to jump on the podcast this year, and they've been back in the band since 1985. We all know Behind the Wall, Ross.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a fantastic institution. Probably a place where most of us probably ended up for one of our first nights out in
Or a wee
the
date. Did you take any dates to Behind the Wall back in the
tour.
day?
I actually think I took my wife there. I think we went there on a very early date for a bit of food or a couple of drinks. I'm sure we did.
See, it's a great date place, and obviously it's absolute part of the fabric of Falkirk now. And they're doing things slightly different this year on the buses, Ross.
They are, yeah, it's looking like a really good deal as well. So they're for the home games, because Behind the Wall have never ever charged for their buses previously. However, they're going to charge a cover price of £5 for home games. Now that's return transfer from the stadium. However, it includes a complimentary drinks voucher for use on your return to the pub. And that's courtesy of Behind the Wall's good friends at Molson Coors. Now they will be running a very similar offer to away games as well. So just to go back, actually, that home game starts this Saturday for the Steyny game.
Yep.
So get yourselves into Behind the Wall for that. However, away games, they're doing a very, very similar deal. So the same complimentary drink offer applies, and they're going to be charging £10 for every single away game, with the exception of when we head to Ayr and when we head to Greenock, and that will be £12.50. But that's a fantastic deal, if I'm being honest,
That's good, I.
for home and away games. And all you need to do is to phone up Behind the Wall, or indeed pop in and see Scott behind the bar, and you can reserve your seats for both
Scott,
home
sort you
and
out
away games.
behind the wall. And like you say, when you think about, the actual charge, what you're paying for supporters' buses these days, and you get a free drink. Brilliant. You've got to love that.
Indeed.
So I get involved with that. It starts, like Ross says, with Steny. So £5 down to the stadium, back up again. You get your drink once you get back there. And I'm a few more after. And we'll be doing Falkirk Daft Live. Like you say, we'll let you know when the tickets go on sale. But the first one we'll be doing is pre-Dunfermline on the 25th of October. Guest TBC. But yeah, that's the sponsors taken care of. Thanks as ever, guys. Let's get into some of the news around the club, shall we, Ross? And we're delighted to announce that once again, Falkirk Daft, and you've probably seen, we're sponsoring the armband, Ross.
Yeah, it's brilliant again. And I know you and I talk about this all the time, but it probably is the best thing like that we've done. Apart
Yeah.
from start the podcast, because we really enjoy doing it, and we're so happy that loads of people listen and watch it and stuff. But the big thing for us is seeing the pictures that Ian sends over every weekend. Brilliant.
We did a big announcement on this. The club put out a message. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it down to the photo shoot, but there's been a lot of comments made about you, Ross, just looking miserable, absolutely miserable. You were
I
stood
got
beside
absolute
Big
grief.
Brad and Cole, didn't
I
you?
know. I got an awful lot of grief online about my face absolutely tripping me. Genuinely, I was so delighted to be there. I was having a really good chat with the two lads, because the two of them are brilliant. They really are. They're fantastic. And it just so happens that the pictures that were taken, my face is tripping me. I promise there was at least one of the four or five pictures I was smiling, but it's not been used. But
Blaming the photographer.
No, 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 no. Like Ian's a
Oh,
fantastic.
was Ian taking them as well?
Ian
Right,
was taking the
there you go.
photo. Ian was taking the photographs. But yeah, no, just absolutely brilliant. We're delighted to do it again this season, aren't we, John?
Absolutely. But in blue steel, I think that's blue steel. It wasn't you looking miserable, it was just pure blue steel.
That's the feedback I got from the commercial guys, was that I was channeling my inner blue steel.
Right, so yeah, listen, if your kid hasn't had an armband yet, just keep going. Yeah, it'll eventually come to you this season. But no, it's just, like you say, and the club asked us, should we still hand out the armbands even if we lose? Absolutely. You can make one kid's night, even if the team get beat, you could still make that kid's memory.
Well, we saw that from the pictures from Somerset Park on
Yeah.
Tuesday night. That if anything, that was maybe one of my like favorite handovers, and we lost.
Yeah,
So it
that
just
wee girl was absolutely over the moon. So
was.
shout out to her picking up the armband. Absolute smile from ear to ear. It was great. You can see the pictures on our social media at Falkirk Daft, on Twitter and on Facebook as well. Big tra I mean, the only transfer news, we'll talk about that in a minute, but Jordan Allen, I don't think it's come as a massive surprise. We sort of hinted at the last podcast that he's moved on to Clyde for a season-long loan until the 24-25 for the whole campaign, really. Obviously, the usual, everyone at the club all wishes all the best for his time. I mean, what have you made of that, Ross?
Yeah, not unexpected. I know we touched on it briefly on the first podcast back, because I think he was missing from... He wasn't missing from the open day. We did get a message to say that he was at the kids' open day. However, he hadn't been at training or in any of the squads since then. So it certainly is not a shock that he's moved on. I don't think it's a shock that he's moved to Clyde either. He seems happy there. There were rumours that... Queen of the South and Inverness Cali were after him. Now, on the basis that he's moved to Clyde on loan, that could suggest that they might be picking up the vast majority of his wage, if not all of his wage, because I assume if two full-time teams were happy to take him as a full-time player, then we're obviously happy with the deal that's on the table. So, obviously, like the club, we wish him all the best. It is another player out of the squad, which is already a bit thin in the striking department. I think we've got plenty of cover everywhere else, but forwards we're looking quite light just now.
Yeah, Jordan Allen's just been a strange one from day dot, really, isn't it? You know, when you think that was a player we signed for cash and money. And it was John McGlynn signing, let's not get this wrong, you know, and he was a thorn in Falkirk's side, brilliant goal scorer for Clyde, and it just doesn't seem to worked out for him. Now, everyone kind of pins this down to, you know, the formation doesn't work, but John McGlynn knew that when he signed the player, that's the formation that John McGlynn set on that 4-3-3. Yeah, he went and signed that strange one, and for money. I find it really, really odd. I mean, so... Did he think that he could convert him into that kind of striker that he's looking for? Or was it just a kind of, oh, he's scoring goals, we'll see what we can do with him? What do you think?
No, I don't think we've signed him for the sake of taking him off someone else and kind of from that perspective. But I do think there was an expectation of him to come in and kick on. Listen, it was a leap as well. He was playing part-time football, come into full-time football, so that's maybe had an impact. But you're right, he's just not kind of slotted into what looks like a regular starting 11. And there is a goal scorer there. And the other thing, John, is we need to tip our hat to him, is because we wouldn't have been invincible had it not been for Cove last season as well. So yeah, it's a shame it's not worked out, because there is a goal scorer there.
I would have really liked to see him. You know, I kind of had visions of him. You know, he's a bit of a terrier. You know, he gets about you, Jordan Allen. You know, and if, you know, with just a wee bit more work rate, you know, having that John Baird style player. But with the style of play that we have, where we're constantly trying to get balls into the box via the wings, he's just not got the aerial presence or that hold up play that someone like Ross has. He's more in that mode of John Baird, where he'd just be a terrier and just pester the life out of centre halves, you know, until they eventually just give up. And, you know, like you say, he's a fox in the box as well. He'll get being the box for any chances, but with the style of the way we play, it doesn't seem to suit his game. But that's why I find the whole thing really, you know, a bit odd that we went and signed him in the first place when we knew what type of player he was.
If we ever, I'm assuming they'll come back on at some point, but it's a question for Joe McGlynn at some point. I don't think any of the boards who we get on from time to time, it's probably not one for them.
No.
But yeah, it'll be one, certainly, I assume it'll come up. I think Joe McGlynn may even be asked when it comes to next AGM, because by that point it'll be what, November, December time, and we won't have had a window apart from the one we're in just now, so it may well be a question that's asked of him then.
Interesting, but yeah, all the best, Jordan. You know, I mean, that's presumably his Falkirk career done now, which is a real shame, because I think, you know, like I say, I'd like to see him get a run in the team. He's never really had that, and who knows why that goes down to. I mean, it probably goes down to the fact that last season we were just so good and invincible that you couldn't change the team. So no. It's a shame for him. Listen, if you want to listen to our podcast in Falkirk, the episode 16 of the Falkirk Football Club podcast is now available. As the Falkirk TV boys, and we all know them, they played in our game at the Falkirk Stadium, a charity game against Falkirk football fans. Sean, Josh, Drew and Adam all chatting on this week's Falkirk Football Club podcast. And I saw here, Sean wasn't doing the commentary. Josh did a very good job on Falkirk TV yesterday. But Sean Elderbrandt, by the way, tip your hat, was doing the commentary on the BBC yesterday, Radio Scotland, alongside Willie Miller for the Dundee United Air game, and he sounded brilliant. You know, I think Sean's a brilliant commentator, so won't smoke up his arse, but you know, he'll go on to big things. Didn't sound out of place in the BBC yesterday either.
No, I listened to a bit when I heard he was doing it, and he's better than the guys that they have on the TV for BBC. I know. If I'm honest. No disrespect to them, but he sounds better than these guys.
And as long as he keeps Falkirk bias coming on his commentary, we're all happy with that. But on the podcast, the boys are talking about the Invincible season and, you know, just being a part of that as the Falkirk team. And I mean, Sean's commentary across that season is now on posters. You know, it's something with Sean and Josh's chat about that. I can't speak when we went invincible. I love that. Absolutely love that.
So we're talking about commentators. Who was the co-commentator on Falkirk TV yesterday?
Because it was Drew.
Was it Drew? Because it sounded like a Jim Jefferies. Sounded like that sort of husky voice, and I've spoke to Drew, I just didn't even recognise him.
There he is. So that was that on the commentary. Listening to the boys on the podcast this week as well. We saw guys and continuing that relationship well with Strathcairn Hospice, which is brilliant to see. Alfie, Gary Oliver, Dylan Tate Innes, but all were down there present a cheque for £3,000. So that was great to see. As we all know, what Strathcairn does for this area. And it's good to see we've still got that relationship with Strathcairn and we're still continuing to hand over money for them. So good to see that. Got to touch on as well Ross Pygate. Jesus Christ, man. I can't believe it. All I've seen on like the Facebook pages and whatever is talking about fucking pies. Jesus Christ, man. It's we're boycotting the pie stands. God almighty. Listen.
Did I not see someone's written to their MP or something?
Please don't. It must be a piss take if they're all. Come on now. Right, listen.
I'm sure someone had written to the local MP.
Jesus Christ.
See, the thing is, right? I get. We talked about this very briefly on the first one back. I get it when. Because it's an emotive subject, isn't it?
It's an emotive subject!
No. Pies! I don't mean food. I mean as in like...
Right, okay.
For a lot of...
Cost of living,
plus versus like the tradition of going to the pie hat and all that kind of stuff, right? So for a lot of people, it's hand in hand. For me, I know you and I have talked about it. For us, we're not regular kiosk...
Pie goers.
Right? If we want something, we'll go get it. But we don't do it religiously.
Yeah.
But... I get it. So there's a cost of living, etc. Everything's going up, and it is. I don't necessarily think from memory though. Like I see loads of people saying, "Oh, it hadn't went up in years." Well, there's firstly part of the reason why it's went up, right? The second thing is, and I don't know this apart from what I've seen, but it looks like they've replaced a lot of the ovens and all that kind of jazz behind the scenes, and they've obviously gave the place a bit of a kit out. So they need to make their money back from that as well. I had a pie at the Dundee night game.
Did you?
I thought it was pretty good. Like it was better than what used to be served. Now, granted, that's one off. So I don't want to sit and sort of say everyone's wrong because I don't think they are. But people will vote with their feet now, which is absolutely fine. I don't think it's worth the
God,
a lot of people have got over
there's
it.
There's bigger fish to fry, ladies and gentlemen. Have you seen injury crisis?
Yeah, but yeah, I don't. I certainly don't think it's as big a problem. But then, do you know what people?
Listen, if someone wants to come on here like next week and have a rant about pies, it's an open forum. This podcast.
Should we get the pie sports guy on as well?
Oh God, if we get We're no sinking to a pie debate on.
No. Do you know what I would say though? It shows how well the club are doing on a lot of fields when the only thing
is
people are pissed off about is the cost of the pie.
The pitchforks are out for the pies.
See while we're talking about it though, Lewis and I were at Ayr on Tuesday night. The food menu that Ayr had, all of the food was either the same price as what we're selling or more.
Oh, right, okay.
The only things that were less, and I agree with this, is the drinks. So I actually think the drinks are too expensive, as like for tea and coffee and soft drinks and stuff. I do think they've made a mistake there, but then it's their prerogative to do it. You either buy it or you don't.
Well, I tell you what, let's over the season, let's go on pie watch. This is what I'm calling it, pie watch, right? And every away game we're at, we'll take a picture of the menu and we'll do a compare and comparison. This is it, pie watch is starting on Falkirk Daft, okay. Let us know the price of your pies, right? So we'll do that. Injuries, Ross. It's let's get into that.
More importantly,
let's talk about the injuries. Fuck me. We already knew Tom Lang, McCann, and Donaldson out for unspecified time. Oh, did you get an inside scoop from Big Call when you were at your photo shoot?
Just that he was progressing. That's all he said. He was progressing. So I don't think he wanted to put a time limit on it, but we knew about those three. Obviously, Morrison played Tuesday.
Morrison was meant to be out for Tuesday, and then he played Tuesday, and then he was out for the Bucky game. And I heard John McGowan on the chat afterwards saying, we don't want stop start because his knee had flared up again. So they just thought, we'll just rest it. We'll see where we're at with it. Because we know what an important player he is for us.
Yes, and we want him back for Queen's Park, and that's no disrespect to Sinismere coming up, because if having that extra week helps Callum Morrison be fit for Queen's Park, that's absolutely fine, because we have more than enough options in Callum Morrison's. And it's not that you want to do without Callum Morrison, because you really don't. As John McGlynn keeps saying, he's the top scorer the last 3 years. You want him back, but you want him back for the league.
Yeah, no, of course you do. And then he said Nesbitt was going to be out for Bucky, and then Nesbitt ended up playing at Bucky and getting two goals. So that was a nice turn. The one that surprised is obviously Keelan Adams, which led us to reshuffling the pack. We'll get into the Bucky game in a minute, but Keelan Adams, who's been, and we'll talk about Keelan Adams at length in a minute as well, he had the flu yesterday. I felt really bad for him. Just Big McGwin throwing him off. I had diarrhea, you know. He had diarrhea, and that's why he couldn't play. I was like, God, it's not a good thing to discuss.
Can you imagine after the game when he talks to Joe McGlynn, and like he's like, Gaffer, you didn't tell them what was wrong with me, did you? And he's like, no, son, no. I've saved you, I've got a strain. He's just told you he had thousands of people, he's got the two more bits.
But there you go. But Keelan has it. But again, it just goes down to, you know, when you're playing Calvin Miller at left back now, Ethan Ross, Alfie both came in, I think, did a really good job against Bucky. Yep. But when you're having to play Calvin Miller at left back, putting two left footed centre backs in the middle there, which is not ideal. And I think you saw a wee bit of that yesterday. And then Finn, we know, is doing right back. But we need a centre half. We need, like, I'm telling you right now, we need centre half cover. We really do. Because you miss Hendo in midfield as well. Hendo's going to be real important. Some of the balls he was spraying about yesterday, by the way, back to Pirlo-esque. But in certain games, you're going to need Hendo in that midfield for his physicality. You know, and with you know, you need a tall centre half in there, because at set pieces, again, we, you know, Sean Mackey got his goal against Bucky, but we need more threat physically. And with Hendo in midfield, and if you're in our big centre half, you're going to have more physicality there. We lost Brad McKay, you know, he's gone, you know, and we're scrapping and scraping last at the end of last season. God almighty, we need a centre half.
I think it depends on what's available, John, because I think if I was, we touched on this and then it stirred a bit of online debate I noticed on Pi Marvel. We talked about the need for another forward or an upgrade on a forward, in your words. However, I think, do you think it's a bit of a perfect storm though? Because we've obviously got all these injuries and they're all centre halves or left backs, right? I just think, would I want to invest in another defender when we've got these guys coming back.
Right, I get that, and we've seen that Keelan Adams, how well he's performed when he's went out centre. And then, like you say, you've got options there. I mean, listen, if there's money on the table, now, there's clearly not money on the table, because every interview I've heard John McGlynn make, he says, I've got no budget. And he's been very adamant, every interview, every opportunity he's taken, he said, I've got no budget. You know for a fact, he, you know, to, in this league, and we talked about it on the last podcast as well, that big, rugged, strong, physical striker is what you need. Now, Ross, again, he got his goal against Dundee United, took it well, didn't take his chances too much, on against Bucky. Now, listen, Ross is great. Listen, hold up play, flick-ons. You saw his flick-on to Alfie for the first goal against Bucky.
He's more than goals. He has. He's
worth. He's more. He's absolutely more than goals. But I think he needs competition in there. And I really think he needs a big... I was gutted when Zach Rudden went at Queen's Park. When he got rid. Now, Todorov, like when Jordan Allen went out the door, you were immediately on the group chat saying, oh, Todorov's just been released by Airdrie. Now, Todorov's, like, as much as you think, what you think about Todorov, I don't think he's brilliant, I'll be honest with you, but he scores one type of goal, which is basically a back, in at the back post, tap it in at the back post. But he does offer something, and, you know, I think he was in the side he was in previously under Hartley. Was it Hartley he was under? It was, wasn't it? Or was it under... it was under one of the...
It was Ray McKinnon.
So, like, he does offer something. I think he could offer something. But then Hamilton have went and snapped him up. Now, you've got to hope that there'd be something in the loan market. But when you look into the loan market, then suddenly you're looking at, you know, boys that are 18, 19 that don't maybe have the physicality that you need for that league. So that's a big worry for me. It's a big worry. Now, Ross, listen, Ross might absolutely step up and, you know, hit 30 goals a season, as you may predict, Ross Wayne. But I do think if he was to get injured, if he's out of form, we don't have an option there to replace him. Like Gary Oliver, God bless Gary Goals, but he's not that player either. He's in this mode of kind of Jordan Allen. And then Ryan Shanley, again, he took his goal really well yesterday, but up until then, he was having a bit of an
I agree with you. I think we need competition. And I followed up the last podcast we talking about this quite a bit on Pine Burrow, with a few Burns fans as well. I personally think we need competition. I, like you, Ross McKeever brings massive amounts to the game. Flick-ons, touched... The link-up play with him, Calvin Miller and Morrison's fantastic, right?
Absolutely.
But if he gets injured, I think the game of bringing Morrison and Miller or Ethan Ross and Aguiman, whoever's there, is not going to happen without that type of forward. And as you said, if Ross McKeever was to get food poisoning like Keelan Adams did on Friday night, or if he was to get a bad injury, we don't really have anyone else in that mold just now. So for me, that would take a priority of bringing another forward in ahead of a centre-half.
I mean, in the ideal world, you had both. Centre-half cover. Yeah. You know, you need centre-half cover and then you need another forward. But it's got, like, there's obviously no money there because McGlynn's been very, very, like,
That's the factual part of it. Yeah, that's the factual part of it. He has said three or four times now he doesn't have any money. So it would suggest that any more players that are going to come in are either going to be some sort of deal that he's able to make with another team in terms of, listen, we'll give somebody potential game time. And we can ask this question next week when he comes on. We've got Jamie Swinney coming on the next podcast. We can ask the question, if we progress in the Cup to the next round, will that open up some budget for John McGlynn before the end of August?
I mean, you'd hope so, because he obviously needs it and wants it. Because we have a lot, there's more players went out than have come in. In fact, when you look at the championship stats, and I booked this, it was on Twitter, the really good accounts, it's Scotland's 30.
We've got four new players in.
And then you look at the player, Airdrie 13, Livingston 12, Air United 11. They've been on a lot of these clubs have lost. They've lost a lot of players. Morton 10, Wraith 7, then right down the bottom, Queen's Park 5, Dunfermline 4, Falkirk 4. You know,
we probably needed the least number, but I do think I would like you, I would have liked to have seen another couple of players coming in, but we need to trust John. He's picked his squad for all intents and purposes. He's used his money, he's used his budget, and he's earned enough, more than enough credit at the bank to say that he's going to kind of live up to it, I suppose. But for me, and I'm sure John, if he was asked the question, he would probably like a bit bigger squad just in case. It's the just in case we're talking about, isn't it?
No, exactly. Fail to prepare to fail and all that. We'll see. What will be interesting, if we've got Jamie Swinney coming, like you say, coming on the podcast next week, it'll be interesting to talk about, obviously, the budget, you know, because obviously the supporters' questions will be getting asked. It's like, right, well, we've given the manager top-up fee in our season tickets. We've got all-time season ticket sales. The merch sales were through the roof due to the invincibility factor. You know, the strips are flying off the shelves. Where is all this going? Now, we understand that there is, obviously, we're coming up the league, there's wage increases, win bonuses, all that sort of stuff. But, you know, like, when you look at what's coming in, we've talked about the commercial team's success as well. It's like, why can we not get someone in when John McGinn clearly needs it? Anyway, all that to be discussed with Jamie when he comes on next week. Let's get into the League Cup, though. We're going to be speaking to Craig Telfer from View from the Terrace, obviously one of Stenismuir's biggest fans. He's going to come on and preview the Steny game. But let's look back at the games. Three games, like you say, Ross, in 10 days from the side, starting off last Saturday at Dundee United.
Yeah, and more than happy with the outcome as well. I think when we all saw the team, before we saw the team lineup, we were obviously all a bit wary of how we were going to fare against Dundee United with the injuries, with everything else. But in terms of the team that started, I was quietly optimistic when I saw it, because I thought, right, okay, we've got our defence sorted. We've been working with them for a number of days, and we're lining up quite attack mode.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and Adams going in at centre half. Was Adams at centre half? Yeah, he was. He was at centre half due to necessity, but he was, I mean, unbelievable.
He was my man of the match.
I think a lot of people's man of the match. Lots of shout of a young Davy Weir, you know, that right back into centre back situation. For a player that's come from low in league football to then come in to play his first, you know, professional game against Dundee United, he absolutely strolled it. He was pinging balls about left, right and centre, winning challenges. He gave Louis Moe a torrid time.
He did. He didn't put a foot wrong, genuinely, for the full 90 minutes. As you say, mopping up headers, mopping up tackles, spraying the ball about. He actually had really good partnership with Hendo at centre-half. Because I was waiting to say Mackie there, but I was thinking then, because Mackie was at left-back for the year in the Dundee Night games. Just the full defence. And they kept themselves really tight against a Dundee United side that was, bar one player, was the expected starting 11. So I think we've done a really, really good job to get the 3 points, and we well deserved it as well.
Yeah, no, it was good to see, obviously, at the start of the game, the pause for Gordon Wright, who sadly passed away at the end of last season and was obviously on this podcast. And, you know, it was, you know, a huge influence behind the scenes on the board. And, you know, like, it was great to see that start of the match as well. 30 for McKeever this season then, Ross?
I did say that. Obviously, I said that prior to the game and after it, because he's
29 to go.
Yeah, well, it's got a couple in preseason. I'm counting preseason. Ross, he did very well again that day. Just going back to what you're saying about Gordon, yeah, you're right. We obviously had Gordon and Keith on before the end of the season, and he did a massive amount of work at the football club. A lot of it fans probably will never hear about. Brilliant minutes of applause, and the Dundee United fans were good in number, but they also were fantastic in joining in with that as well. Ross McKeever, outstanding again, buddy. He didn't put a foot wrong. I had watched the Alloa friendly on Falkirk TV because I was away on holiday then, and he obviously popped up with a goal and another goal that should have been his as well. So he just kind of carried on from there, and I think you saw what it meant to him as well, because obviously there had been a bit of commentary on social media about whether he was going to be a big player for us this year. And he will. He definitely will. And that's why we're talking about the need for someone else to be there as an option when he's not, because he's not superhuman. He might pick up a knock here and there.
Yeah. It just seemed like we picked up where we left off from last season in that game, you know, like created loads of chances, maybe should have had more, in fact, probably should have had more, and just the pace of the football. It was a really entertaining game for a neutral to sit and watch that, by the way. It was just great to watch, and like I say, we hadn't missed a beat from last season. I know it was a wee bit of worry in pre-season, but friendlies are friendlies. This was a competitive match, and we just hit the ground running, I thought.
No, we did, and you sensed it with the crowd as well, because we just went at them from the first minute. We nearly scored in the first minute. I think it was Calvin Miller hit the bar. Fair play to him, Jim Goodwin, after the game. He fully conceded that Falkirk were by far the better team, and I think he even said what you've just said there now. If you were a neutral watching the game, you wouldn't have known which one was the Premiership team.
Yeah. Exactly. A couple of comments after the match coming from you guys. John, I thought Henderson was man of the match today. Absolutely outstanding. Team were excellent. We have strength and depth and can only get stronger when others get fit.
Indeed. Wee Div says we absolutely ran that match. I was a bit worried about the lack of dig in the midfield, but Tate, Spence and Nesbitt were miles ahead of that United midfield and had Sybald chasing shadows all game. No bad performances at all, but Spencer was my man of the match.
I always find it really strange seeing Craig Sybald in that role, that more defensive, lying role. I can't hand it. Actually, shout out to the midfielder. Dylan Tate took his goal incredibly well. Just that touch and hit was brilliant. I think he's been great in the pre-season. I think when it gets to Hendo being able to step up, it'll be a real tough battle in there for spaces. Because I think Nesbitt and Spencer are shoo-ins, but I think that third spot, I think it'll depend on the game, whether it be Hendo or Tate that will go in there.
Do you know how good our midfield were against Dundee United? Craig Sybald, who we all love, would not have got a game for us on that day. He would not have got in that midfield. So that's how good the midfield were.
Absolutely. Byron Bruce says, brilliant performance by the entire team. Adams was outstanding. McKenna looked good when he came on. All in all, pleasing to see some depth in the squad. Well.
It's not as deep now, but Chris says the Bairns are back. Adams is a belter of a find, and if he plays like that all season, we're going to have a fight in our hands to keep him. That's a good point. Their absolute sitter aside, we looked very comfortable against good opposition. Are we now their bogey team?
Maybe we are. So that was Dundee United, and then it was on to air on Tuesday night. Ross, you headed down to the new look Somerset Park.
Yes, it's a decent addition to Somerset, actually, John. Really like Somerset Park, old school with the terrace, covered terrace at each end as well. And it's not the biggest stand in the world that they've built, like literally three or four rows of seating. But it doesn't change the character of the stadium. But what it does do is it makes it feel like a proper enclosed four-sided stadium as well. So it felt like there was a bigger crowd in. I think the crowd was given just under 2,000. Now, considering it was like, I think, nearly 600 Falkirk fans down, I actually thought the home end was a bit busier, but no, obviously not. But different trip to air midweek. As I mentioned, good size of Bairns crowd, and we were optimistic after the United game.
Yeah, only one change to the side. Jamie Seddon coming in for Nicky in the goals. We knew that was kind of going to happen. I think that maybe will happen against Stensmuir as well. They'll kind of flip-flop, though, in saying that. We'll talk about Nicky when we get to Bucky as well. But, no real surprises in the side with, obviously, the injuries.
No, obviously, there was a little bit of chatter that Morrison wasn't going to make it pre-match, and he did. I'm not sure how fit he was. He didn't seem his usual speedy self down that wing. That said, the air fullback did handle him pretty well in the most as well. But he did. He was just maybe a touch off his normal speed, I would say, for Callum.
Obviously, Ayer scored early on, and that was a slightly worry. And obviously, it was Anton Dowds who came to haunt us again. Jamie Sneddon, any? I've seen a few people pointing the finger at Jamie Sneddon for the goal.
Having watched it back at the time, I thought, is he maybe getting a bit fouled? I don't think he was fouled. I think when you look at the start, I think Finn Yates maybe could have been a bit closer to the defender before he put the cross in. Hendo's obviously involved with Anton Dowds there as well. And then I don't know whether Anton Dowds was the last air player to touch it because George Oakley was right at the back post as well. But not a great goal to lose, to be honest. We obviously had chances ourselves, more than enough chances in that first half, hitting the woodwork 3-4 times.
Yeah.
And we really should have went in at half-time a couple, if not three goals to the good. But unfortunately, we weren't. But it didn't take anything away from the night. The fans, apart from a couple of random punters shouting at the end, the vast majority of fans clapped the team off the park. First defeat since February.
I know, which is, it's a weird feeling. Because, you know, at this point, I was in the queue for Dragon Can watching the United game with Spanish people looking bewilderingly over my shoulders. but it was a weird feeling because I thought we played so well in the game. And like you mentioned there, hitting the woodwork three times. We looked good. We played well. You look at the chances that we created. You know, we were by far, on paper, the better side. But just air, just got the break, you know, and got their goal. I'm saying it's a break.
It was a break to a degree because obviously there was two or three instances where we could have cleared it or not or blocked the crossing. I think Ayr are streetwise. That's how my phrase for them after the game. I think they will do okay this year. When I mean okay, I don't think they'll win the league, but they'll be. I'm sure they'll be pushing for a playoff spot.
They've signed very, very well. I mean, when you look at Scott McMahon, who was an excellent player at Dundee United, I'd love to have had him. You know, we talked about Harry Stone. Apparently Falkirk were in for Harry Stone as well.
He's a wee bit suspect at times. I think if I'm interjecting really quickly, I still think Nicky Hogarth's a better keeper than him.
Yeah,
Harry Stone, I think so. And I think Nicky's probably got the edge on Jamie now as well.
Yeah, Marco Roos, who's certainly the midfielder who they've got on from Coventry, looks like that. He's going to be a proper good player. Mikey Devlin, George Oakley, as you say as well, he's a player you'd love to have had at Falkirk. You know, leaving Morton, obviously, Ayr are splashing the cash and rolling the dice because we know that Scott Brown's not going to come cheap as a manager either.
No.
So they really seem to be rolling dice. And I think, you know, it's going to be tough games against Ayr this season. I mean, I think it'll be there and thereabouts, but I think it's going to be, they'll be there and thereabouts for the
champion. I agree with you. I think they'll be pushing. They'll be pushing for the top four. We didn't look out of place, which was the good news.
Yeah, that's the great thing. You know, we were unlucky. You know what I mean? We were unlucky. We probably should have had it. We should definitely have had a draw, if not, you know, the 3 points. But it's going to be interesting to see how the games and how Ayr progress as well. Because I think, looking at how they've signed, I honestly, you know, I think you get a good price on the bookies. But I would certainly be tempted to put money on them to win the championship this season because they have signed really, really well. But we will wait and see about that. So after Ayr, it was on then to Bucky. Oh, before we get before we pass Ayr, some reaction from that. Danny says, boys played well against a fresh and very physical Ayr side. A lot of positives, lots of chances, and a bit of a freak result, in all honesty. We do need to strengthen in all the obvious and much talked about areas. I wonder what those areas could be, Danny.
Who knows? Craig says, knew it would be a hard game down there with the squad that they've assembled. Still think we should have tried to get another striker. And on another day, we would have won the game, though. So we move on.
Graham shows how difficult this championship will be. Ayr have acquired decent players and are now probably favourites to win the group. It's unfortunate we didn't have the first choice defence available yet.
I would agree. And last but not least, Ian says, played okay, should probably not have lost, just as you've said, John. Subs are too late. If we can come back on that, I think that's a good point. Ian says, no reason to panic as we should still qualify from the group as long as we score enough in the last two games. But the league is the priority.
Yeah. What are you making about subs then?
Because
teams do this sometimes. Remember with Bonnie Rig Rose, remember a couple of games this season where he just leaves it really, really late to make subs.
I thought the subs were 10 minutes too late. I think we could have done with Ethan Ross's injection of pace. Alfie, I think could have got longer. And I'm only saying this because it was very obvious that Callum wasn't fully fit. And I'm really surprised that he outlasted Calvin Miller from a subs perspective. I agree with Ian. I think they were 10 minutes too late. I think we could have got a draw or potentially have won it based on a bit of a freshness coming in a bit earlier.
Yeah. Then up to the Highlands. Well, it's not the Highlands because you got slated for saying it was the Highlands.
What is it then? Is it Moray? Is that the area?
Up to Moray, not the Highlands, for the game against Bucky on Saturday then. Bucky 1, Falkirk 5. Was it a 5-1 goal? I believe it was a 5-1. I believe it was 5-1 goal. Yeah, so, love to see that. Nesbitt getting to Sean Mackey, getting his first Falkirk goal, which absolutely surprised me. I thought he'd scored before, but oh no, he hadn't. And Ryan Shanley coming off the bench as well to make it 5. We didn't make the game, Ross. You watched it on Falkirk TV, as did I. Changes obviously coming about for Rowan, you know, having to shuffle the pack yet again. So Sean Mackey, as we said earlier, the two going in at centre half, two left footers at centre half, which meant Calvin Miller went to left back, and Morrison was obviously out. So Agyeman and coming into the team alongside Ethan Ross as well. What do you make of it?
Comfortable. We should have scored more. I'm not massively disappointed we didn't, although if you ask me at 4:45 on Saturday coming, that may change that answer, because obviously I felt we never looked. I know they scored, but it was a bit of a freak moment.
It was a weird one, wasn't it? Because at first I'm shouting at the TV at Sean Mackey, but it seemed that I think it was the turf that held the ball up. Yeah. It was just like, it was then dispossessed, and it was a good finish for the boy.
It was a good finish, and then Saki redeemed himself with an absolute brilliant header to make up for it anyway. But yeah, just I hope, and I know John McGlynn mentioned this in his post-match interview, I just hope we're not losing out on goal difference come Saturday at 4:45 by not scoring a goal or two against Bucky, because I don't think we're going to have as much of an opportunity to score against Steny as we did against Bucky.
Their defence is pretty good. Well, actually, we're going to speak to Craig Telfer a bit about that, actually, later in the podcast. But yeah, I thought Alfie, you know, it's the first time we've seen Alfie start a game in absolutely ages. I can't remember the last game Alfie started. It might have been a wee while ago that Alfie actually started a game. I thought he caused all sorts of trouble down that right-hand side. Now, we know how good Cal Morrison is, but I thought he's obviously got the two assists, one for the own goal and the other one for Nesbitt. But, you know, he looked like he was finding all sorts of space. And we know it's Bucky, but I thought Alfie was terrorised.
He definitely did. That ball over the top. Three or four times caught, especially in the first half, caught them out. Some really good passing play by Brad Spencer yesterday. I thought.
Yeah, he was excellent midfield. Yeah. I mean, as Brad Spencer always do. But as mental, you look at like we should have scored a lot more. I think, you know, we talked earlier about McKeever. He made some guilty chances. Ryan Shanley, McKenna, when he came off the bench and decided to square it rather than hit it. It's like, what?
He should have been far more selfish there. I would have liked to have seen Michael get off the score sheet as well. It would have done his confidence. That said, I've generally liked the look of McKenna every single time he's came on. Do I think he'll start against Terrasmuir? No, I don't. I think if Nesbitt's fine and dandy, I think he'll remain in that position.
He's a good option there, though. He's a
very good option to come on, massive option to come
Nesbitt
on.
Nesbitt will always be, you know, we all know he's John McQuinn's favourite son, but he'll always be on that team sheet just because of his work rate. And then obviously, weighing in with two goals yesterday as well. And he had a great return last season in terms of stats aiding as well. So he'll always be there and thereabouts is one of the first names in the team sheet, you know. But I was looking at the stats, actually, 26 shots, 13 on target. We should have been miles ahead. And you hear John McGlynn after that. I don't know if you've listened to the post-match interview from John McGlynn. He seemed raging. We just won 5-1.
He seemed pretty pissed off, if I'm being honest.
I know.
Yeah, he did. Do you know what I noticed as well? And it's not like him, but on Tuesday and yesterday in his post-match interviews, he usually makes reference to the fans as well. And he didn't do that. And it's not just because I thought, I can't speak for yesterday because obviously I wasn't there in person, but on Tuesday, the fans were absolutely fantastic. And it's just not like him. So I wonder if he's, I don't know. Is he pissed off with someone else? I don't know.
I
Is
think
it
it's a
maybe
lack
just
of money he's
injuries?
pissed off with
Maybe just
me.
the injuries he's pissed off when
He's
and
probably
we've
pissed
seen.
off a lot. And I think, and shout out to the ultras that went up. They forgot the drum yesterday. We had a message from Kieran in the ultras to say they forgot the drum. And I saw pictures of the ultras. I think they battered Bucky pretty well from the looks of it. They had, I think, a few skins. I know a lot of people were making a weekend of it, but it looks like there was a few casualties up there in Bucky at the weekend. And a big shout out, and I don't know who did it, but the boy, the Falkirk supporter, the ball came out and he headed it back in. It is everyone's dream in football for that to happen, for the ball to come out. It came out perfectly, and what a header for the boy. Straight back into the arms for the throw, and we almost scored from it because of the 1-2 he played. By the way, stand up that man. We dedicate this podcast to you. You have lived the dream of every Falkirk supporter, every football supporter out there by heading the ball back in. It's the dream, Ross. It's the dream.
It was fantastic. It really was. And do you know, these long trips, they're always good for the banter. They're always good for some stories, and I'm sure there'll be some that'll come out in the wash as well.
I'm pretty sure we'll hear a lot more about that game when we head to the pub on Saturday for the Steny game. Let's see what some of you guys are saying. Graham says, never went, but more or less what I expected. Hoped for more goals, but given our injury woes, I will take 5-1.
Indeed, yes, I would take 5-1 every week, Graham, on that basis. Homer says, good result, but I'm worried about how these injuries will impact us when we're up against championship teams. Hopefully, get them over and done with now, though.
Now I'll let you take this one from Dickie because I know you've got a better singing voice than
There
me.
is absolutely
If you
no
check out,
danger I'm singing this.
yeah, if check out our Twitter as well, Dickie looked like he had a good time up in Bucky as well. Come on, sing it
I'm
beautifully.
not going to sing
You're
it. I'm not
right.
going to sing
Okay, I'll do it then. So,
it.
in the style of Whitney Houston's "I Want to Dance with Somebody," Dickie says, "Ooh, I want to dance with Sean Mackey. I want to feel the heat with Sean Mackey. Yeah, I want to dance with Sean Mackey. With Sean Mackey, who loves me." We'll wait
You
and
did
see.
very well there. Well done. Well
Thanks,
done.
mate. Thanks. You can find me at the Tollbooth Karaoke every Saturday, as we know. So yeah, I did see another one I liked about Brad Spencer, and this came from Gordon Hall, who does all the t-shirts and stuff. He says, and this is a bit more up my street, Ross, is a bit Bruce Springsteen, "Can't start a fire. Can't start a fire without a spark. Brad Spencer's on fire. We'll play Dunfermline off the park." Da-da-da-da-da. What a tune, by the way, Gordon.
That's good
Love
as well.
that.
That's
Absolutely
decent as
love
well.
that. But yeah, that was it. League Cup, 3 games, 10 days, one more game to go. And we'll get into that right now with a man from the telly.
This is Falkirk Daft. With Behind the Wall. Stay local. Eat and drink global.
So every week in Falkirk Daft, I like to look ahead to the games ahead. And I'm guessing we can call him a local celebrity has joined us on the podcast. You'll see him on the television on View from a Terrace. And of course, he does the Terrace podcast as well. It's Craig G. Telfer, one of Stenismuir's finest. How you doing, Craig?
I'm very well, thank you. That's a brilliant introduction. I wouldn't say a local celebrity. I think that's just the somebody who's just in the TV from time to time. I wouldn't say. I mean, I'm not going to the Howgate or anything and getting mobbed by folk
Mate,
or anything like
down Stenismuir Main Street, mate. I've seen it. You know, people come up getting
that.
selfies, you know, outside the plough.
No, delighted to have been asked on. Thanks very much for having me.
We have a bit of banter. I mean, Craig, you're obviously very queer on your views on Falkirk when it comes to the television, when it comes to the podcast. And where does the hate for Falkirk come from?
There's.
Does it stem? Is it right across the Stenismuir support?
You know, I saw, weirdly enough, I was reading Pye and Bovril early in the week when Ross put out the post advertising this show and saying it was going to be on it. And I saw some people saying that, "Oh, not Craig Telfer, the guy's a wanker," and all that. And some people were saying, "No, well, he's just a fan. He's just a fan. He's got opinions like everyone else." And there was a couple of posters, like two really bad posters, I'm going to call, a guy called Harry Kinnear and a guy called Back Post Misses. absolutely drivel you get every single week from the pair of them. Ross is laughing because I think he actually agrees with me on this. But they were saying
it's because I know at least one of them.
Right, okay. And they say, I saw stuff they say is like, oh, 99% of Steny fans hate Falkirk and that. And that's just simply not the case. You know, it's like, as a club, it's, I mean, obviously Falkirk aren't my favourite team, but it's not based in any like visceral hatred. It's been quite funny over the last couple of years seeing the team not do as well as perhaps fans would have expected. But certainly in the last season, there's been absolutely nothing to make fun of. The team were absolutely exemplary last year, and it's just local rivalry. I'm sure I see that Falkirk fans, though, they say they never give Stenismuir a second thought, and I can kind of understand that to an extent. But since we don't have any, like, since East Stirlingshire dropped into the Lowland League, you know, we don't necessarily have a proper rivalry. So maybe it's just a bit one side, but it's just a bit of fun saying that Falkirk playing Grangemouth every other week. It's fine. It's just like, John, as someone who's into the wrestling, you'll know how it works. It's just business.
Absolute business. In fact, the fact they moved the Grangemouth border sign further down now because of the works going on there is making it a lot worse now as well.
Actually, I forgot about that. We need to contact some MP.
Let's get on to the MP. Well, we're on to about the pies. We'll contact them about the Grangemouth sign as well. Because Steny were almost like a second team, because you're an Arbor High boy as well, Craig.
Yes, that's right.
So I was my mate played for Stenisfield, Ross Hamilton. Mr. Hamilton, as you might have known him at Larbert High, but he played for Steny. So, you know, I was, you know, when Falkirk were sometimes away, I'd go and watch Hammy playing for Steny. So, you know, I was around that period where they were playing Celtic and Rangers and Hearts in the Cup and all that sort of jazz. So I went to a good few Steny games, and I'll go to them to the occasional Steny game as well when Falkirk aren't playing. So it's really odd form to me. I think it's because I'm Larbert, though. Ross, however, has a different perspective, going further towards Falkirk.
Right. Okay.
So, no, listen, I might have said this on Pine Borough as well. I think back to the late 80s, early 90s when my dad started taking me to Falkirk games. At that point, we didn't always go to the Falkirk away games. So if Steny were at home, we would go to Oakleview and we'd go to Steny, whoever Steny were playing, basically. No, the turning point for me personally, though, was 2003, when obviously we spent a season at Oakleview and the roof that we had donated to Stenisfield.
Yes.
We didn't put it on, and we had the wettest, most
that cup game. Oh God, that was horrendous.
If someone says to me, "Do you want to go to Steny hospitality?" Not in your life. I'm not going.
Hospitality is actually very good at Oakleview.
It's very good.
It's all right. I was there early in the season. It's good, but it's just business. There's no, maybe outside the Old Firm, and it's quite fun. The season, particularly under like Paul Sheeran, Martin Rennie, Kenny Miller, that was quite good fun.
Don't talk about those names.
It was particularly as well when like Lewis Connolly was doing Falkirk TV as well, and there was something genuinely thrilling about coming back from the pub and staying up to midnight to watch the highlights. And Falkirk TV's got an excellent highlights package, and it was always good to watch the highlights, particularly when Falkirk were going through a bit of a difficult period. I always found it quite funny. But like I say, there's absolutely nothing you can really criticise the club for over the past 12 months. It's been a fantastic season. And I think it's fair to say that Falkirk are perhaps like back where they belong. Maybe it's not for me to say, but I think that Falkirk being in League One, it almost felt like a bizarre quirk that one, you were there in the first place, and then two, you were down there for as long as it was. But for all the difficulty, that's, you're like following a smaller club. It's like you're just a spoke in the wheel. Sometimes you're up when you're down. And if you're going to bounce back, then what a way to do it, like with the season that you just had there.
I mean, you guys, you experienced your first championship last season, Craig. You know, outstanding achievement for Stenismuir. I mean, they made hard work of it. I was speaking to Sandy down at the ground in January, because I play seven sides down at Oakleview, and I was speaking to Sandy. I said, "Oh, it's all done, Sandy." And he was shiting himself even there. I said, "No, you're all right." But then when the draws started coming in, every Monday I'd go and go, "How's it going, Sandy?" He's like, "Oh, fuck, don't talk to me about it, you know?"
It was a funny season. I mean, we went on a 12-game winning run, I think from November to the end of January, which was phenomenal, which was absolutely phenomenal. And as a fan of a smaller club, you realise what it must be like to support Rangers or Celtic, where every week you're going to the game thinking, we're going to win. It doesn't really matter who you're playing against because there's so much confidence in the team, so much confidence as a supporter that you have in this group of players that you think, well, it doesn't matter because we're going to win. And you'll be turning up every week and playing some really, really good football, scoring some great goals. And the last game that we won in the season was against Bonnyrigg. We beat them 1-0 at New Dundas Park. And at that point, there was 9 games of the season left to go. I think we'd opened up like a 16, 17 point gap at the top of the table. And at that point, I was like, well, that's the league's won. It feels like it's virtually won. The only one team in that division has shown any consistency over the course of the season, and that was the Warriors. And even although the draws started piling up, and it did become a little bit frustrating at points, even although you were that far ahead and it was only a matter of time, I was never quite as worried as Sandy might have been. I thought, we're going to do it. It wasn't the most convincing finish to the season, but nevertheless, it sounds like you're complaining like, oh, your wallet's too small for your 50s and your diamond shoes are too tight just after you've won your first ever league title. But monumental season. You know the expression, you're living through history, and it really felt like that me and my supporters managed to do that. We were seeing something that will never be repeated again. You were actually there to witness it. So very special season, the best I've ever had following the football club.
It kind of echoed, you know, obviously what we were doing across the other side of the area when we were going invincible. It felt like that, being a Falkirk supporter. We'll never see it again.
Yeah.
Changes. So what's Gary Naismith done a cracking job last season. What's the squad looking like in comparison to last season?
The exact same. it's pretty much the exact same as last season. We have signed up, I think 15 of last season's players have been signed on, 4 have moved on, and we've brought in 2 guys to compete within the first team. We've signed 2 boys on loan. Sorry, beg your pardon. We signed two young guys, a 17-year-old and a 20-year-old, who are going to come in. I think decision is going to be made about whether or not they'll be part of the squad after the League Cup. I think it's perhaps, I'm not sure if it's something that Falkirk will feel, but certainly at part-time level, not being able to play trialists in the League Cup is a bit of a frustration when you're trying to build a team together. And I think that our business will be finished after the League Cup. You know, once the bigger teams have got their squads together, know exactly who they're going to be keeping, the players they're going to be moving on. But effectively, it's the same group of players as last season. It's the same 11. And it's a slightly frustrating because I thought that, as we mentioned there, given the fact that we'd virtually had the league title wrapped up by about March, we would have been in a really good position to go and sign the players and put the building blocks in place, we given that we knew where we'd be playing next season. And that hasn't been the case. But at the same time, I do appreciate how difficult recruitment is at this level. And particularly when you're seeing clubs outside the SPFL that can offer quite big money, teams like East Kilbride, for instance, I think St Caddocks, I think Cumnock Juniors are paying quite a decent bit of money. So these outlier teams that can maybe take away the players that you might have been interested in. So it's been a bit frustrating that, but you trust the manager implicitly to get the players he needs to go ahead. It's just a wee bit frustrating that we've moved up a level. It's going to be a bigger challenge next season, and you're going with the squad hasn't necessarily improved, if you know what I mean.
Jake, one thing though, because John and I have just been talking about something similar, is the fact that obviously, like us, you've got that continuity though.
Yes,
of the squad. So that can be a positive going into the new season as well. So whilst we all love to see clubs put out a tweet emoji saying, like, there's a pen, there's guys, we love that, don't we? But actually, the positive is that you've got a settled squad, you've got a settled starting 11, and they all know each other, they all know how to play, and more importantly, they're used to winning games as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right, Ross, in what you're saying there. So it's really good. We've got a group of players there who we all support entirely. We've got these guys back. I mean, they did us a fantastic job last season. And so when we're fully expecting it's going to be a difficult campaign, it certainly won't be mostly on our own terms last season. That's not going to be the case this year. So that's good to know you've got players that you completely buy into and believe in. And it's maybe similar to yourselves. In fact, there's actually a lot of parallels between Falkirk and Stenismuir, just in terms of your business has been, I mean, there's a bit of a lack of freshness there. You have brought guys in, but it's guys who were previously on loan, so that there isn't that same degree of freshness. And I do think as well, like, continuity is a good thing. Familiarity is can be a good thing, but you just want to see freshened up a wee bit. Just the supporters, like, it's like shiny new signings are like shiny new toys, and it's good and it gets you excited. I mean, even for like the pre-season games, I didn't go to any of them because it was the same players. So I didn't feel as though I was going to go and learn anything or see anything new. I know exactly how Steny are going to play. I know the formation they're going to play. You know what all these guys do. So I agree with you to one point, but at the same token, it's just like, I'm like a big Wayne. Just I want new signings. Yeah. I want new signings.
New toys,
excite me.
So where Steny kind of built on the defence, Gregor Buchanan obviously picking up all the awards pretty much for Steny. Is that going to be the difficult part that Falkirk are going to face on Saturday, or are there other parts of the team that are going to threaten us?
The defence is definitely Stenis Muir's strongest suit. We saw that last season. I mean, Gregor Buchanan was outstanding. I know that his time at Falkirk was a wee bit mixed, but I know that wasn't a particularly good Falkirk team that he was a part of. He's been excellent for us. He's been absolutely excellent for us. He's got, I think, 7 goals last season, played 35 league games, 19 clean sheets in them, which is phenomenal. And he's like a brilliant stopper, decent with the ball at his feet. And on top of that, it's intangible things like organisation, cajoling, commanding, the respect to the players around him. He's very good at that. Him and Nicky Jameson, his centre-back partnership, they've got a really good understanding between them. Darren Jameson, the goalkeeper, best goalkeeper I've ever seen playing for Stenis Muir, absolutely phenomenal. Perhaps the most transformative signing the club have ever made. You know, I mean, you'll know all about guys like Leo Fasan, and there's like, you know, just thinking when you think of like having a really, really bad goalkeeper, how that can just spread not throughout the team but into the stands as well, where like balls go into the box and you're saying, oh, this could end up a goal because you don't trust the goalkeeper. We had 2 years of that, but when DJ came in, it just feels like anytime balls come in, if the centre-backs don't get it, Darren Jameson will get it. So that confidence spreads through the team, spreads into the stand. You've got that degree of assurance. We've got good fullbacks. Ross Meakin's just a steady fullback. And a boy, Kinley Billam, who we got from Ayr United. I'll be honest, I'd never heard of him, but he was excellent last season. He's about 5'6", 5'7", but very, very rarely loses anything there. Quite quick off the mark as well. So I think he'll probably have his hands full trying to deal with him. Bjoum Aguiman will be playing there on Saturday. So he'll have his hands full with that, but he'll give it a good go. And further forward, perhaps we're a wee bit sticky further forward. Like, we think in the final 9 games of the season, we were talking earlier about drawing our way towards a title. Goals really dried up. And it wasn't just the goals that dried up, but it was like chances became a bit of a premium. We found it difficult to carve out opportunities to score. And I think that's really where we need strengthened in attack. But we'll come on to that in a second. But the guys to watch out for, got a boy, Michael Anderson, in central midfield. I thought if perhaps Falkirk hadn't got promoted, he's a guy that you might want to take a chance on. He's a really, really good player. I think he's got a decent job outside of football, which is perhaps he doesn't necessarily need to move into full-time football. And a boy, Matty Yates, who I'm surprised actually we kept hold of. There's talk that he was going to go to Airdrieonians. It didn't materialise, and he's staying with us, which is brilliant. He's incredibly hardworking, incredibly tenacious, but really technical player, good passing, can hit a shot as well, and probably good for about 6 or 7 goals a season. So they're probably the two guys from your perspective to watch out for, Yates and Anderson. Really, really like the pair of them.
Yeah, I saw Yates actually. I thought I was really impressed when I did see him. Really good player. So are you heading up on Saturday, Craig? Will you be in the away section?
Oh, well, I don't think I'd be welcome into the south stand at any point soon. So yeah, I'll be very much in the away section. Yeah, I'll be at Ayr United, of course, on Tuesday night. That's our third game there. I watched the highlights of your guys' game against Ayr United. I think perhaps a draw would have been the fairer result there, given the number of chances that Falkirk had. Some good chances as well, and like hitting the woodwork 3 times. So I don't know what to make of them. They seem to have signed pretty well under Scott Brown. Certainly some eye-catching, well-known names there. So I'll be there at Oakleview on Tuesday. Then I'll be at the Falkirk Stadium on Saturday to see the game. But for us, it's good if you can do well in these competitions, but I think it's all just at our level, getting fitness in the legs, testing yourself against full-time opposition, and just making sure you're at peak condition going into playing Arbroath at the start of the season. Be great if we can get something against Ayr United and yourselves.
It would be great. I'd be delighted for that.
But well, I think Tuesday.
We're all just really focused about the league campaign. I think it's a lot of the time where part-time teams are drawn into these group stages. it's really you're not going to go far. There's only a handful of times when, like, a part-time team, you know, Stirling Albion did it last season. I think Annan Athletic have done it previously, but it's very rare that the part-time teams make it out of the group stages. So for us, it's, you got a good win against Bucky, you get the chance to play, test yourself against bigger teams, make a wee bit of money from finishing as high as you can, but just make sure you're prepared for that first game against Arbroath.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone looks forward to, you know, the Falkirk Stenny games as well. You know, it was a shame, obviously, we had the friendly arranged for Stenny St.
Yeah.
50th anniversary, and that was called off as a result of that, because I think that would have been good, and you would have got a good crowd into Oakle View for that.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, it's going to, you know, it's, I guess, for clubs like Stenismuir, it's about just to get the money and getting the cash through the gate, and I'm sure you'll get a decent support from Ayr on Tuesday as well, and, you know, obviously, you share the gate on Saturday as well.
Yeah, I hope so. It's a shame that we didn't get the chance to play that 140th anniversary game, because, of course, the last time that we played Falkirk at Oakleview, that was the Scottish Cup tie in 2000.
Sorry, you're breaking up there. The Wi-Fi's breaking up.
It's incredible. I mean, obviously, I go back and watch highlights of that. I think it's the 23rd of November, so that's the anniversary for that. But it's incredible. I mean, we were both relegated that season, and I remember being really disappointed at that, because it would have been great to have the opportunity to share a division and get the four games against them. But I suppose it's, you, going back to what I said earlier, but you watch matches like that, and just like guys like Leo Fasan in goals, like Joe McKee, Paul Payton, guys like that, and you just think that's what it's like supporting a team at this level. If I'm going to quote like Dolly Parton here, but if you want the rainbow, you've got to put up with the rain. And it's results and it's days like that make stuff like last season all the more.
Well, it's the first time Dolly Parton has been quoted on the draft. So there, thank you very much for that, Craig. Right, listen, what do you think the score's going to be on Saturday?
3-0 Falkirk.
3-0.
I'll go 3-0 Falkirk. Yeah, we're still in the process. We played Dundee United on Tuesday night earlier in the week, and I think we got Dundee United perhaps at a bad time, because they'd obviously just lost to yourselves, and I think there's very much, this can't happen again. This won't be allowed to happen again, especially not at Tannadice in front of the home support there. So Dundee United were miles ahead of us. We barely threatened, barely actually got a touch of the ball, to be honest. It was very straightforward for them. And so I think it's kind of tempered expectations a little bit. So I think we'll probably lose against Ayr United, lose to Falkirk. But I think we won't embarrass, or touch wood that we don't embarrass ourselves in either game.
Ross?
I think Stenny will score. They just seem to have an edge over us. Some of these games, obviously, Scottish Cup, we don't want to talk about that game, but I think Stenny will score, but I think I'm going to go Bairns 3-1.
I think I'd replicate. I think a 3-1, we'll be I mean, we won't know if we're going through or not as well. It depends on the results elsewhere as well, because it looks like it depends how Stenny do against Ayr, because we could be looking for goals as well. But I think Stenny, looking as they did last season defensively, I think Gregor Buchanan will have a big point to prove it again. Yeah.
On top of that as well, we are quite strong from set pieces. There's points last season that any time we got a corner or a free kick in dangerous territory, I think we're actually going to score this. Because there's a lot of, that's one thing as well about Stenny, a lot of big lads in the team.
It's a worry for us with our injury problems at the moment as well, with our basically our back four completely out. Hopefully Keelan Adams will be back.
Yeah, I'd never heard of this guy before. I think he was signed from Cumbernauld Colts. I was reading Pine Bovril and they were talking about the boy Adams. I was like, that must have been a signing that I completely missed. I didn't realise that he came in like midway through last season.
Yeah, he's been, I have to say, like, he so far impressing his first couple of outings that we've seen him. You know, he's a right back but he's been put in at centre-half due to necessity. And by the way, what a player he looks like. He's just like, what? Again, it's like, who's the boy at Partick Thistle signed from the Lowland League as well?
Oh, Luke Macbeth.
That's the one. And you just think there is a world out there in the Lowland Leagues that you can go and tap up. If boys are coming in and playing like he did in his first game against Dundee United in professional game and absolutely just strolled it. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So fingers crossed for Saturday. Craig, thanks so much for joining us on Falkirk Daft this week. Really, really appreciate your time. What's happened with the telly? What's happened with the podcasts?
The podcast. So today I was out for dinner, but out for lunch with my dad, and then since lunch and speaking to you guys this evening, Sean McGuigan and I, we do a big lower league preview podcast from the Terrace. So that's we talk about all 30 teams in the Championship, League One and League Two. So I've been planning that since the start of May. Like, so that's there's months of research that goes into, like, any time a team does a transfer or something happens, you update the page. I was looking at my notes for Inverness, Caledonian Thistle. I've got about 2 pages worth of notes just on them alone, because they are, I think that's it.
When Falkirk, that madhouse up there.
When Falkirk got promoted, they handed the banter baton onto Caledonian. There's always one club, I always get the feeling there's always one club in the lower leagues that is just an absolute shambles. It was Falkirk for a number of years, that's been passed on to Cali Thistle.
Just so we're speak doing... Andy Moffat up there, he will have you. Yeah, he'll tell you everything you need to know.
We're doing the prep for that podcast. The last time we did it was 6 hours long, the podcast, just because there's so much to cover. You want to give every team their place. It's like talking 10 minutes on each side. So that's the next big thing we're looking forward to, recording that next Sunday. And in terms of a view from the Terrace, we're back, and I think it's the end of September. So it's season number 7, which is class. So it's been great, and it's been probably the best thing I've ever done in my entire life. Get to work on something like that. It's like you get to hang out with your mates, you get to talk about, like, we set the editorial, talk about the teams that we want to talk about, whether it's Falkirk, Stenny, whoever. No one tells us who to talk about. And it's just it's great. It's a gift.
You get selfies outside the plough as well, so walk into the plough and get a drink for free.
I don't know about that.
Warriors Club, maybe. Warriors Club, maybe.
It's great, man. It's great getting the chance to do stuff like that. And, of course, getting the chance to come and cross enemy lines and get the chance to talk to yourselves.
Craig, see, just before you go, what is there a bet that we could talk about that would see you wearing a Falkirk shirt on episode 1 of the TV show?
Is there
a bet between now and then?
There's a gauntlet being thrown down over there in Bainsford.
I will stop you there, Ross. There's absolutely no chance I will wear a Falkirk top. There was one, Joel Sked, a couple of years ago, you just reminded me, lost a bet and had to wear a Hibs top. And he actually wore a Hearts jersey underneath the Hibs top because he didn't want the fabric like touching himself. So he's like, if you think I've got a bit of this, like, he's even worse for it. But I'm sorry, no, there'll be no bets, there'll be no wearing a Falkirk top, so I'm sorry.
Brilliant. Well, Craig, thank you so much for coming.
No, pleasure.
I really appreciate your time.
And hope the folk in Pine Bovril, if anyone's listening to this, not a bad guy. I hope that's the they come away thinking he's actually all right. That's what we want from this.
Brilliant. Nice one, Craig. Right. Thanks very much. We'll
cheers, guys.
Cheers now.
Nice one. Take care. Cheers. Bye.
This is Falkirk Daft with Behind the Wall and the Falkirk Football Fans in Training.
That is it for this week's Falkirk Daft, our League Cup review and preview. Fingers crossed we're in that draw come next show, Ross. We will be looking ahead to our first league game.
Yeah, it's came round quick, innit? It really
Friday
has.
Night on Flag Day as well. It'll be a cracker.
TV, Flag Day, big crowd.
5 o'clock pub, yeah.
Yeah, let's. Are we sampling the Behind the Wall?
Yeah, absolutely. 5 o'clock Behind the Wall, the new bus. Book us in, Scotty. We'd love to have that. But we cannot wait for the season to start. It has started and it's been really good. And like I say, we've really picked up where we left off. I know the bucket, you know, the injuries aside, we'd like to see a bit more business in the transfer window. But I don't know, John McGuinn seems a bit pissed off, but it really does look like, you know, we did have our first defeat since February, but we played well.
We did really well
as Dundee, and we beat Bucky 5-1. Come on. I mean, you've got to be happy about that.
It's been a good week.
It has been a really, really good week, and we're looking forward to the game against Stenny. Hopefully get a derby win there and get our name into the hat for the next round. We'll look forward to that, and we will be back to normal service on Falkirk Daft for the season. Weekly podcast will be dropping. If you want to be a guest pundit, we'll be looking one for to review the Queen's Park game. So that'll be pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk. drop us an email there or drop us a DM on Twitter or Facebook. We'll get back to you and we'll get you on for the Queen's Park game. And if you have been a guest pundit before, you can come back on again. We don't have a rule about that. We'd love to have you back on. to talk about the Bairns. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. You get to subscribe on YouTube. You can watch as well as listen. You get to see Ross, the beautiful face in blue steel. Give us a bit of blue steel for the YouTube. Beautiful. So you get to see that look if you sign up for the YouTube as well. And get merch, stop. I keep meaning to put it up on the socials. You can get merch, man. You can get Falkirk Daft merch. Merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. It's a bit like the wrestling where they all do their merch, but we've got Falkirk Daft stuff with the Highlander badge with the little symbol I'm drinking, the Jester's hat. It's brilliant. And just the Falkirk Daft logo. So get on there, get kitted out for the new season and look Falkirk Daft chic. That's why I'm describing it for the kids. I believe I've picked up new terminology. It's a good fit. If you say someone, that's a good fit, that means it's a good outfit. So you could have people coming up to you behind the wall and going, that's a cracking fit, mate. And then you'll go, and you'll be wearing your Falkirk Daft hoodie or t-shirt. Check it all out, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Right, I'm very excited. Football's about to start again. I'll be at the game on Saturday, looking forward to rejoining you, Ross, in the stadium, because I've not been there yet. So I'll be looking forward back at our usual seats and looking forward to the game this Saturday. And until that time, we've only got one thing more to say.
Bring it on. Expect unexpected.
Oh, you've added a new bit to the catchphrase. I like it.